W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Hurricane Ernesto is heading out into the Atlantic after pounding Puerto Rico with heavy rain and strong wind. More than half the island's without power. Natalie Brito is staying with relatives who have a generator.
I'm hoping the energy will come back soon, so that's my only hope.
Ernesto could strengthen to Category 3 by the time it reaches Bermuda. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance with a threat to migrants thinking about coming to the U.S. without documentation.
If you're in this country illegally, start packing your bags because Donald Trump is going to send you home. And he's going to do it on day one.
The Ohio senator campaigning in Michigan. President Biden and Vice President Harris were briefed by their national security team today on developments in the Middle East, including an update on U.S. military efforts to defend Israel from a retaliatory attack by Iran. This is ABC News. Arizona Supreme Court's ruled that this November voters can weigh in on an immigration proposal. The ballot measure could make it a state crime for people to cross the Arizona-Mexico border anywhere but at a port of entry. It gives local police the authority to make arrests and state judges the ability to deport. Apparently, too much work stress can lead to an irregular heartbeat.
Researchers from Canada studied about 6,000 people, examining the stressors they faced at work. Things like conflicting demands, tight deadlines, and a lack of autonomy. Finding that when those pressures are high, the chance of atrial fibrillation can double. Atrial fibrillation is an irregular heart rhythm that can lead to stroke and eventually heart failure. Doctors say having flexible hours, balancing work and home life, and exploring calming techniques like meditation, even at work, can help. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The mayor of Columbus, Ohio, says hackers recently breached city sites, but says none of the data is usable. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Voter turnout Tuesday in Wisconsin's fastest-growing county was 45%. That's the highest for a fall primary in Dane County in 40 years. Democrat Kelda Royes represents Madison in the state Senate.
You know, Wisconsin is always a swing state. It is on a knife's edge. So I don't think that anybody should be feeling overconfident, but I do think that all the bets point to the election trending blue.
Turnout in Wisconsin's other big blue county, Milwaukee County, was 33%. 16 Republican state lawmakers won their primaries easily Tuesday. The closest races are won by Paul Tittle, who took nearly 60% of the vote, and Chaz Green and Karen Hurd, who won 57%. WisPolitics reports insiders expected more of an anti-incumbent wave. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Brewers reboot for L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost again last night at home to the Dodgers. Final score 7-2 in favor of Los Angeles. William Contreras with his 15th home run of the year, about the only highlight for Milwaukee. Tonight, it's Frankie Montas on the mound for the Brewers against the Dodgers' Walker Buehler. NFL, Matt LaFleur asked if he's concerned about running back A.J. Dillon's performance against the Browns.
Yeah, it wasn't good enough. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of daylight to run the ball, and certainly when you have three cracks at it to get a yard, yard and you don't get it done, I mean, that's a problem.
Dylan only gained 2 yards on four carries and had this to say.
I graded a 98%. If you know football, you watch the tape and you don't look at the stats and you are actually put yourself in the game, somebody else go out there and do more than what I did. If you don't live inside my house, your opinion to me is so secondary that I couldn't be bothered with it. And I promise you, everybody in this building is working their ass off to do the best they can.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow. Low tonight in the mid-60s. High tomorrow, 70. A stray storm and partly sunny Friday. High upper 70s. The weekend, some lingering clouds Saturday. Sun for Sunday. Highs close to 80. Currently at 75 degrees.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for a throwback Thursday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're still celebrating the glorious blue victory in the partisan primary, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, it's producer Conrad here. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. Pete is on vacation this week, so I put together some great interviews over the past couple months. Right now we have Radio for Pets, who perform 4 songs in studio. Hope you enjoy.
I want to say, I'm going to go off the limb and just say I discovered you guys. Let's kind of do that.
No, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, sure, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
it's cool. Radio for Pets is here in the studio, and they've already performed a couple tunes. We'll hear hopefully another one, and we're just talking to them about how they got started. They've won a Whammy Award. They've got a gig coming up in Green Bay August 11th. Tell us where that is again.
At the Tracks.
Yeah, okay. So that's August 11th, and there's another band on the bill with you.
There's two other bands. One who I don't, like we were saying,
say their name.
I don't think we can say their name on the radio.
Okay.
And then the other one is called Rebelmatic.
All right.
Yeah.
So, and Adam is joining us here. He is. If you're watching on the stream, you can see Adam. He is in one of the comfy chairs.
And as every good bass player, he's here to be seen and not heard. That's right.
I love it when bands like when they're so old, everybody has died except the bass player, but he still tours as the band. So, all right. So you guys are based in Green Bay, but you live like Sam, you live north of here, kind of where I live. Is it hard? And even Green Bay is not a huge city. What is the punk scene like here and or emo scene? And how do you get seen? Like, how do you, you said you play in Milwaukee and Chicago sometimes, but where do you want to take this? How far do you guys want to take this?
I mean, ideally in a perfect, beautiful world, like we would be doing this professionally as a career, but these days ain't nobody making money making music. So
yeah, really.
Like you have like the superstars who actually can do it successfully, and then everyone else kind of under them, like maybe we'll pop off on one song on TikTok and then
you know who's really coming into her own is that Taylor Swift. I don't know if you guys have heard of her, but she's
small up and comer.
She's finding her niche. So who writes most of the lyrics and who writes most of the music? Is it a collaborative effort or?
So the way our writing process usually works, and this isn't like a hard rule or anything, but I write like the basic like rhythm guitar and the vocals, like kind of just as an acoustic song. And then I show up to band practice and I throw it to these guys, and I say, you just do whatever you want to it.
Yeah.
And
wow.
It is so fun for me specifically because I get to hear this, like I have this idea in my head of like what it's going to sound like at the end, and it never sounds like that. Never a single time. And it's always way cooler than anything I could have imagined, you know?
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Because it really is a collaborative. I mean...
Yeah, we all kind of got our own, like, niches that we're really good at doing. But Bill, for the most part, is kind of the lifeblood of Radio for Pets. If you watch us perform, like, I always kind of say this, you're going to be watching Bill, you know?
Because he's a singer.
He's such a queen up there. The rest, but he like writes the core of the song and lyrics. Pretty much no one ever touches Bill's lyrics, pretty much ever. As for any band I've been in with Bill, which is two or three now, nice. It's been like that. But then usually the song gets torn apart. We try not to make him cry while we're doing it. And we kind of rebuild it. Usually I touch the structure, and then usually Rick adds a lot of the lead stuff in because he has like the most music theory background in the rest of the band, which is really cool.
Nice.
And then we just like ignore Adam, and then he'll like, we'll compliment him on his bass lines like a year after the song is done.
Like, oh, wow, I never noticed. Never, yeah,
way,
wow.
Way not to screw that up, man. You could do better than these guys.
Yeah. And it usually, I mean, some songs were pretty quick, but they're still like, usually we can get them like 95% of the way done in like two or three practices, and then they're like, they'll sit at 95 for like a year, and there's something, right. Something always just like, it needs just a little bit more, like, a little bit more. Yeah. If you listen to these two songs already that we've played, you can kind of tell like immediately that the songs are like injected with so much little details.
Oh yeah,
that takes so long to learn. The process of these songs,
even just with two guitars, you see that like it's not like this elaborate composition of all these. But you hear those layers and those levels just with what you guys are doing on guitar. It's really cool, yeah.
Yeah, like Fate Tax is a really good example because it's the easiest song in the world. It's four chords, you know? It's A, C sharp, D, D minor. But it's like there's five different whatever tempo changes and there's weird stops all over the place. And then you put a weird solo in it. And then we do that ending bit where it rings out. We do that specifically nine times. Nine every single time. Like, and we all like, we know it's nine times. Like, it's one of those things, and every single song has one of those things. And usually at practice we're dusting off oldies, or I'll come up to an idea when we're playing a song that we played for years now, and I'll be like, you know what needs, what if we just did this one thing, and we just added that, which you messed up on. I feel like, what was it?
You guys need a new name, maybe Under the Bus.
And Hooray for Zero Gravity, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. It was a different song that we just added.
He's got the most music theory of all of us, but he really screws up a lot.
He really messes up constantly.
That's so cool. So it's not like my experience is like in the movies I see or music documentaries I see. They show up and they've got like four lines written. Well, what if we did this? Like, where do you guys record, first of all? Like, in someone's basement? Do you rent studio space? How do you do that?
So usually we do, like, a really intense demoing process at home, like, on our own computer and setup. So, like, I am a control freak, and part of the reason why I think our songs are even playable with all of the weird changes and stuff is, like, when we go to record, when we go to do anything, like, they can already play these songs with no one else but themselves and a metronome is kind of where I like to get to before we're even in the studio, because studio time is very expensive.
Yeah. So, yeah, sure.
As few takes as we can get, like, right. Once we're in there is kind of the goal. But that said, so like we do most of the writing at home, and then when we are ready to record it, we go to a professional studio.
All of these have like all of our songs have high quality demos that we can like not feel ashamed about, like letting people hear.
Right.
But then our EP that we have was, okay, we moved on from the demo to let's get this professionally recorded and mastered. So the four songs that we have out there.
Yeah.
Or like
five.
Yeah.
That's cool. Let's hear another one. What else you guys want to do?
Sure. So this one is a little bit tonally different from the last one. A lot of our lyrics are like relationship drama. Okay. As a writer, where I really like to like zero in on is I like to take things that are just small moments and like a very personal moment for someone and blow it up to like obnoxious proportions. and this song is, you should probably tune. this song is one of the newer ones. It's called Besties.
Okay.
And it is kind of about answering the text messages from your ex that you know you shouldn't.
Love it.
There's that classic emo for you.
Yeah.
Radio for Pets in studio here at Nightlight.
Just me, or is this stairwell getting incredibly hot? You barely make it to the bed between you showing up and my nervous shaking knees. It's nice to forget what's been going on in our lives just for a breath. And afterwards we'll both lay wordless. Remember, we're just friends now. She says we are just friends now, but friends still cuddle after sex. And she says this hurts, Bill. I'm not quite sure why I keep coming back. Whoa, no. And I say this hurts, babe. But it's nice to know that when you're lonely, you still think of me like that. So why can't we feel good again? Why can't this just feel good again? Why can't things just be all good? All good, all good, all good again. Tonight I dedicate myself to turning into stone, but I'll send you home with a chisel, 'cause I'm scared to be left alone. But I have to do something to stop my synapses from surging on the love in me bleeding. And I still have hope. I'm holding on to hope. I'm clinging to a dream that you'll come home. Loosen the rope around my throat, that I'll learn to love myself again, and that you'll love me again. So whenever you come over, can't let myself say no. It's these brief moments I have you that stoke fires up this hope. Terrified that I'll turn to stone, so don't go now. But if you do stop back every once in a while, baby, please don't let me turn to stone.
Progress, we have found a way to talk around the problem. Building towered foresight isn't anything at all. Why the sky and tell the sky and leave the sky and tell the sky.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, it's producer Conrad here. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. Pete is on vacation this week, so I put together some great interviews over the past couple months. Right now, we have Radio for Pets, who performed four songs in studio. Hope you enjoy.
Really?
So,
yeah. Not like a full song, but we did, I'm going to sound like a fool if that's not actually the band that plays this, but we used to play Take On Me.
That's aha.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Oh, no.
Careless Whisper by Wham is a good song. Hey, it's Peach Wobble. We're back here on Nightlight with Radio for Pets. They're hanging out in the studio tonight. We have a few more minutes with these guys. Coming up at 8:35, Alicia Altstetter will tell us about the comedy and acting scene in Milwaukee. I'm very excited to talk to Alicia. She's very talented. Not too late to get in on our question either. Who is the toughest billionaire? If you had to square off against one of America or the world's billionaires, who would you be the most scared of? Who's the toughest billionaire? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Having so much fun here, Conrad. We kind of ignored the question for a while because these guys are, I know. He's like, I can't talk. He gave one of you guys his microphone.
Oh.
So he goes, so I won't be able to talk to you. So that's why I just tried to put him on the spot. And he looks at me like, I can't talk.
Yeah.
So you got the big gig coming up here in Green Bay on the 11th. That's exciting. At the tracks?
Yeah.
Okay. And then my biggest question, do chicks dig punk rockers?
No.
Wow, that was resounding.
No, I think.
Just kidding.
That's fair. I was gonna say culturally, I just think like being in a band is kind of seen as a red flag. For
really?
A lot of people. Oh, yeah.
Used to be so cool.
Used to be. Now we're all old.
Right.
No one wants a 33-year-old punk rocker.
So things have changed so much in the music business. Mm-hmm. And let's just do this. I'm curious, like you can load your music, which is great. You can put it on YouTube, Spotify, whatever. How do you get people to go there and actually find it once you've done that?
That is the million-dollar question. Yeah. I think if you can figure that out, there's some publicists who will pay you a serious amount of money to tell them. Genuinely, just word of mouth and like social media are really like the main two ways now.
Gotta get it out there, huh?
Exactly.
Playing a lot of shows
and getting your music in front of people and being like, no, look, you can find, give us money for it.
Yeah. A lot from live shows. I think.
Yeah.
A lot from live shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For us, that's really where it comes from.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to do one more? Yeah, one more in you, or we could just talk. That's fine.
We got several more in us. It's just which one?
Yeah.
Which
one? No, we only planned for three.
You could listen. I love Fake Tats. Is one of my favorite. We could go out on that, Conrad. They could play us into the next news break with Fake Tats.
What do you want?
I would say we should play either.
Nervous?
Nervous. No, yeah.
We've got about 6 minutes. All right,
perfect,
cool.
Perfect.
All right, here's Nervous by Radio for Pets in a bonus segment. This is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, this song is called Nervous Looks Good on You.
Oh, I like it. Okay. Yeah.
It's also on this one is released, so it's on Spotify and YouTube and anywhere you
and
like.
Check out Radio for Pets on all those
platforms,
right? Okay.
Yes, like and follow. That's for small bands, like adding
it's
us
huge.
On your social media. Exactly. It's the biggest thing you can do is help spread the word about us if you can.
Whammy Winners, Radio for Pets.
I've spent the last hour looking for porn stars who look like you. Now I'm lying in the shower, the water's run cold. I'm not sure what to do. I'm two bottles in and I'm still drinking more. Whining and dining till my throat is sore. My stomach is filled with squirming things. Drown them all in alcohol till the phone rings. Sounds like a choir singing your name. You've clawed your way into my chest. Next to my heart, you've built a nest. Among cracked ribs and forgotten meaning, you grave rob my long dead feeling. Tear me apart or eat me whole. I wanna sleep inside your soul. Bathe in the light you're bleeding. Tell me you'll always need me. I think I need you. I need you. I need you. Get this feeling when I close my eyes. My stomach knots up and my tongue gets tied. Daydreaming, you're by my side. I've never felt this alive. I'm fighting every urge to call you, 'cause I don't wanna come off clingy or obsessed. But all I do is think about you. Is that unhealthy? God, I'm such a mess. Last night, dreamt we were spiders, hundreds of legs entwined in ecstasy. Do you think we'll mate for life? Are you as nervous about this as I am? Clawed your way into my chest. Next to my heart, you've built a nest. Among cracked ribs and forgotten meaning, you grave robbed my, grave robbed my me apart or eat me whole. I wanna sleep inside your soul. Bathe in the light you're bleeding. Tell me you'll always need me. 2, 3, 4.
Radio for Pets. Guys, this has been really fun.
Hey. I've had an awesome time.
Have you? Good.
This has been fun.
Oh, I hope it was worth the drive.
How long do we have left?
We have about 30 seconds-ish.
Oh, no. Okay.
We have a minute.
We have a minute. Okay, I got to go fast here.
Okay.
He'll kill me if I don't bring it up. My dad. Yeah. My dad, oh, Dave Block, geez, was in Godfather of Green Bay.
Oh, my gosh.
As an extra.
Oh,
as
wow.
An extra. He's I think he played like a chef or something where you guys dine and dash, and he comes out and goes like, what's going on? Well, the bone he has to pick is he did have a speaking line where he yelled something. I think there was a train or something going by, and you guys 80-yard over him. And the voice that you guys 80-yard him over with is hilarious.
That.
It is so funny.
Oh, that's great. I had to cut my own mother-in-law out of the movie, which did not make Thanksgiving that much fun that year. Tell your dad thank you very much for helping us out. Radio for Pets, check them out on Spotify, all the platforms. Check them out at the Tracks in Green Bay here August 11th. Thanks so much, guys.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Hurricane Ernesto is heading out into the Atlantic after pounding Puerto Rico with heavy rain and strong wind. More than half the island's without power. Natalie Brito is staying with relatives who have a generator.
I'm hoping the energy will come back soon, so that's my only hope.
Ernesto could strengthen to Category 3 by the time it reaches Bermuda. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance with a threat to migrants thinking about coming to the U.S. without documentation.
If you're in this country illegally, start packing your bags because Donald Trump is going to send you home. And he's going to do it on day one.
The Ohio senator campaigning in Michigan. President Biden and Vice President Harris were briefed by their national security team today on developments in the Middle East, including an update on U.S. military efforts to defend Israel from a retaliatory attack by Iran. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An incoming Democratic state lawmaker from Madison is a trailblazer, Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Wisconsin will get its very first South Asian member of the state assembly. There was a three-way race for the 77th Assembly District. Renuka Mayadev ended up winning. She works in the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. There is no Republican running in November, meaning Mayadev wins the seat. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Law enforcement officers who killed a teenager who brought an air rifle to Mount Horeb Middle School in May will not be charged. The Dane County DA says the officers acted appropriately. Justice Department investigators say the officers followed correct protocols when confronted with what looked like a lethal weapon. No one but the teenage subject was killed that day. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. A man who was anonymously dropped off at the hospital with gunshot wounds has died, and police are investigating his death as a homicide. 21-year-old Brandon Ramirez of Green Bay died Friday. Police believe the shooting happened in the 1200 block of Burner Street on the east side. They're asking for witnesses and security or doorbell camera footage from the area. Yesterday was Election Day in and around the area. Both constitutional amendments on the ballot were soundly rejected by at least 57% of the vote. In Wisconsin Senate District 18, Anthony Phillips of Appleton will be the Republican taking on Democrat Kristen Alfheim. In Senate District 20, incumbent Republican Dan Fian of Fond du Lac will face Michael Rapp of Van Dyne. And in Senate District 30, Republican Jim Rafter is taking on Democrat Jamie Wall. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow. Low tonight in the mid-60s. High tomorrow, 70. A stray storm and partly sunny Friday. High upper 70s. The weekend, some lingering clouds Saturday. Sun for Sunday. Highs close to 80. It's 71 right now.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, it's Jim Schmidt and John Minel from Minel and the Mayor.
Join us live on location Tuesday morning, August 27th from 6 to 9. We'll broadcast from Simple Life Hospitality's Green and Gold Party House across from Lambeau Field. Even the Packer Band will be there.
Can't make it in the morning? Swing by their open house from noon till 6. Enjoy snacks, sign up for prizes, and take a tour.
Love what you see? Well, then be the first to book the house for your Green and Gold Bash before somebody else grabs it. That's Tuesday morning, August 27th, live from 6 to 9.
See you there.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by one of the most reasonable men in Wisconsin politics, Tom Polsiewicz. We'll talk about Tim Walz, inflation. We'll talk about it all. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Hey, it's producer Conrad. Hope you're having a good Wednesday. Pete's on vacation this week, so I put together some great interviews over the last couple months. Right now, it's comedian Zane Lappery. Hope you enjoy. She's walking along that lonely mile,
and every time I do, I keep seeing... We are talking to comedian Zane Lamprey, who is touring Wisconsin at the moment. Well, at the moment, he's walking the Oregon Trail, getting like 90,000 steps or something like that. But
I'm touring. I'm up to 36,000 steps right now. This is fantastic. Lord. I love it.
Do your stretches. You don't want to pull a hammy before a big show in a brewery.
No, if I stretch, I'll break something.
So before we get to your tour, Zane, and your date tomorrow night in Green Bay, tell me a little bit, if you would, how you got started in stand-up. When did you know you could do this?
Well, so I did a show called Three Sheets years ago, where I traveled around the world drinking. I drank in 71 countries, 72 if you count the Vatican. But there, I just had a little sip of wine and the cutest little piece of toast. And
so was it a wafer or a host?
That works so much better on stage. I'm not going to go into any bits. Okay, there we go. Okay, all right. I digress. I did a show called Three Sheets, traveling around the world drinking. When that ran its course after 4 years, I did a show called Drinking Made Easy for Mark Cuban. And what I had done is after Three Sheets was canceled, I planned to do a stand-up tour. And I had the whole stand-up tour planned across the U.S., 51 cities in 87 days. And then I reached out to Mark Cuban, who I knew was a fan of Three Sheets, and said, hey, do you want to make a domestic version of this show for your network, for HDNet? He had a network HDNet at the time.
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, let's do it. Like, that was literally, yes, let's do it, was his response in an email. And so we did it. So I traveled around doing stand-up. And then doing the show, I probably put more eggs into the basket of doing the show than doing the stand-up. But when, you know, so many networks have come and go, I've done so many shows that have gone a season that now I make my priority the stand-up.
Okay.
Stand-up is kind of like, well, I mean, you know this. It's some of it is innate. A lot of it is learned. There are ways of doing things. There's methods and flows to the way that you present information. For me, I'm a storyteller. I tell people about things, situations I've been in, usually situations where I've done something and I'm the idiot in that situation, because to me that's funny.
Right.
And so yeah, that's what it's been. So I came back hard after COVID, after being like locked up in California for 10 months and, you know, through the pandemic. And on June 3rd, we did our first stand-up show at a brewery. And now we do exclusively shows at breweries. So I've done 406 stand-up shows at breweries since June of 21.
That is really, that's so interesting to me, because I'm like, when I was looking at your website, I'm like, oh, wow, he's doing a show at a brewery here. Oh, he's doing one here too. Oh my God, these are all at breweries. Like,
I'm
very impressed you were able to circumvent Shark Tank completely and go right to Mark Cuban to get the okay, which is really cool. But
you know what? It was before Shark Tank.
Oh, no kidding.
And the thing about Mark is, I had my show called Three Sheets. It went off the air. I did a Save Three Sheets rally to try to get another network to pick it up. And so I had about 600 people come to this rally, which was really more of a glorified pub crawl in Los Angeles. And then 2 days later, I did the same thing in New York. And I'm going around New York with about 800 people. I couldn't even see the end of the mob. And the last place we were at was an Irish pub that was 4 stories tall. And I'm at the very top. And my buddy comes running up to me and says, "Zane, Mark Cuban's downstairs. He wants to buy the show." And I'm like, "Buddy, Mark Cuban's not downstairs. But I'll show you that whoever's pretending to be Mark Cuban is not Mark Cuban." Work my way all the way downstairs, and there's Mark Cuban having a beer with some of his friends we brought, and he was on this crawl. I didn't even know it. That's how many people were on it. And he said, "I want to buy it, but the network that Three Sheets was on was putting all these shows together. They were lumping 5 shows. You couldn't just buy Three Sheets. You needed to buy 5 other shows, 4 of them of which he didn't want. And so when my contract with them expired, the first person I reached out to was Mark, and he's like, "Yeah, let's do it. We're good to go." So yeah, I had an in, but he does make his email public. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to get in trouble, but it's pretty easy to find. And if you have something, you know, a quick question, he'll almost always get back. He says he responds to 1,000 emails a day.
Oh my gosh.
So I was one of 1,000 emails, but I did get Mark Cuban to write me a check for $1 million. So that's pretty good.
That is really cool. And I'm just looking at IMDb Pro here now, 3 sheets to all these countries. That's a brilliant. Where did you come up with that idea? Just to have drinks in other countries? Where did that?
I was a work for hire. I went into audition for this show called You Should Open a Restaurant. And the premise was you're such an amazing chef that they turn your house into a restaurant for the day. And they bring in, they turn like your house physically into a restaurant. They bring in a sous chef and waiters and waitresses and a bartender. And I went in and interviewed with these guys, and they said, "Yeah, you're not really what we're looking for." And I was like, "Oh, okay." They're like, no, you don't understand. The host of this show isn't the host of the show. They're the host in the restaurant. You would just be showing people to their seat. You know, your manager read this wrong.
It's a hosting gig.
And so it's not. Yeah, exactly. It's a restaurant gig. And so I was like, "Okay." And I left. And then they ran down the hall after me and said, "Wait, we got a show called 3 Sheets where you travel around the world drinking. Would you want to do that?" And I was like, "Yes."
Oh, my gosh.
And that was it. So, you know, traveling around, I've done over 100 episodes, probably over 150, I guess. And it's pretty cool. You know, I mean, some people see different things. Some people look at it and go, "Oh, you travel around to get drunk." And some people look at it and say, "Oh, you learn about drinking through, the culture through hanging out with certain people." So I think people have different sort of optics of what they're seeing in it. For me, I don't really think that I was getting drunk. I mean, sometimes it was a hazard of the job. I was,
sure.
I was absolutely having fun, but that show, when 3 Sheets, the network was on, went off the air, it got sold to Fine Living Network, which went off the air, then to Travel Channel, then to Spike, then to Hulu. So it was a popular show that kind of bounced around. And then since then I've done other ones, but that kind of genre of show, the travel show genre, really because of YouTube, has kind of gone away. So there's always calls to like bring it back, and there's always meetings about doing that, whatever. But until then, I'm going to control my own destiny, and I'm going to go out and do my stand-up. So I do a tour every year. I do 130 shows, and then I shoot a special. I take everything that I've done. And you know, a very tight hour, and I make it as an Amazon Prime special. So I've recorded 3 specials, and so now I'm out traveling around. And come April, I'll record another one.
And
I don't think is customary for this business, but I'm very unconventional. So
well, it's whatever works, man. Whatever you could do to find leg up somehow. And it sounds like you've done that from day one, which is really cool. Where can people see all of your specials on Prime?
Yeah, so right now, Tender Looks is on Amazon Prime, and then my next one, Ski Patrol, comes out next month.
Okay.
And then at Christmas time, The Medium Club is another, so that's the third one that will come out on Amazon Prime. So, you know, by the end of the year, I'll have 3 specials on Amazon Prime, I'll have my book out, and I'll be continuing to tour. So, you know, I still have in this state, I still have like Green Bay is the last one I have. I've done a bunch. I really do love it here. I don't hate the winter here as much as I love the summer here, if I can qualify that.
No, I totally get that. I love summer and fall here. You know,
who's going to defend? Who's going to defend winter in Wisconsin? I mean, come on, let's be serious.
You'd be surprised. My kids took martial arts for years when we moved here, and there are people that love snowmobiling and ice fishing. They live for it, and I'm like, okay, I got nothing for that. You know, good for you.
Yeah.
So
that is true. That is true. Yeah, that's. I don't know how many days that's the other thing too, right? Like there's not a lot of days that are perfect for those things, but
exactly.
Yeah, I'm down. I guess it's way cooler than here than growing up in Syracuse. You guys got fried cheese curds. Literally just, you know, I rest my case.
Well, you could get them not fried too, which some people, we have this discussion on the show every once in a while.
I don't know why people would do that.
I don't know either.
Why anyone would do that. That's
Zane,
crazy. I'm
with you.
Right there.
Because they're very squeaky. The ones that aren't deep fried like squeak in your mouth and give you like that bile taste before you vomit, at least me. Yeah. But I like my deep fried curds.
Yeah, just bread them and fry them. I love it.
So where do you go with this, Zane? You've had three sheets. You've got your tours. I like the business model kind of you have for your career. Do you have aspirations to act or write stuff or, you know, where do you, or do you just hope to keep doing this?
You know, it's so funny because it's, you know, I'm 52 years old. I've been doing this for 30 years and I've had development deals and shows with Comedy Central and Warner Brothers. And, you know, I worked with Merv Griffin. I worked with, you know, Mark Cuban. I did shows for MTV, VH1. It becomes a very much of a journeyman kind of a job. There's so many people that manage to just pay the bills by being in the business. And then there's people that can break out and you know, have some financial independence, which I've been lucky enough to have, being able to control my fate, right? So when I'm doing my shows and my stand-up shows, it's probably 50% fans and 50% new people that just, you know, want to see a nationally, you know, recognized comedian who's coming to town. And it's pretty sustainable. You know, I think that people think that life on the road is like rigorous. It's just not that bad. It's just not that bad. I don't have the domestic responsibilities that I have when I'm home. I get to sleep in. I got a gym in my hotel.
Right.
I get to walk around. I get to, you know, I do eat healthier than I, you know, now than I did year one. Year one, it was like, we're going to Philly, cheesesteaks. You know what I mean? We're going to Wisconsin. It's fried cheese curds every single day. You know what I mean? Bratwurst, you know, but right. Now it's kind of, you know, I'm more of an even keel about that kind of stuff. And it is writing, you know, I'm always writing, whether again, writing my book, but also writing the material for the stand-up every night. You know, I do my presentation. I do my stand-up, my show. And then I gotta sit back and make some changes. I'll go into the doc, you know, my docs or my notes, whatever, and I'll make some tweaks and go, okay, this one could be done tighter here. This one could be done tighter here. And then it turns into something else. I've done movies and they'll come, they'll pop up and that kind of thing. But with those, and I love them. I love doing those kind of things. But whenever you're doing something and you're putting your fate in the hands of other people, it's, you know, things can just crumble. Like I did a show on Food Network and it was great. It was called Half Fork Will Travel. I was traveling around eating it, you know, every episode was a different city around the world. And the network executive, the, you know, who came up with it left. The new person came in and said, I want a clean slate. I only want shows that I've created. So they pushed it aside. You're just like, man, this is my life, man. You know what I mean? I put a lot into this thing and now you just kind of push it to the side and I have to figure it out. And so with this, with my stand-up, it lets me be the master of my own destiny more so. Although, you know, there's other projects and stuff. The hybrid would be the best. If I had my show and I was doing my stand-up and I was able to do both of those things. And it's not like I necessarily want to do 130 shows a year. That's like a show every 3 days. Or less, but if I can do bigger shows, just focus on the weekend. But for now, this is what it is, and honestly, it's going great. The way that the you know doing them at breweries is way more of a community experience than if I was going to comedy clubs, which I am transitioning into those because now some of the comedy clubs are reaching out to me about doing it there. But it's fun. I'm having a great time right now. It's like, you know, they say you just, you know, you don't realize that they're the good old days until they're behind you. Like, I know these are the good old days.
These are the good old days.
I'm alive. I'm walking, man. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm walking and I'm laughing. So.
All right. I keep threatening to help you promote this Green Bay gig tomorrow night. We'll do that after an extremely short break here. And then I'm going to ask Zane what he's watching on TV when he's in his hotel room. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here comes my baby. Here she comes now.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
In the market for a home loan? It's time to meet Kristen Ambos, the top 1% of loan originators in the U.S. and the number one female loan officer in Wisconsin for 2 years running. With over 20 years experience, Kristen and Point Mortgage Corporation are here to serve all of your lending needs, from conventional to FHA, USDA, and VA loans. Plus, with their rate match guarantee, if they can't beat your pre-approved rate, they'll pay you $500. Call Kristen Ambos today at 920-606-1156 and let her and Point Mortgage make your homeownership dreams come true.
Hey, checking in.
This is not just your flu shot appointment at Walgreens.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is getting your entire family vaccinated in one trip.
Hey, Mom.
And a snack on the way out. Get flu shots for everyone in your family together. Schedule appointments online today. This is wellness made easy. Walgreens.
Vaccine subject to availability and for ages 3+. State and health-related restrictions may apply.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Zane Lamprey, who joins us now over the stream. He is out getting his steps in and killing two birds with one stone. And that is what you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, to get ahead in life. Zane, let's talk about what is bringing you to Green Bay tomorrow.
That's your show.
Where can people get tickets? What can they expect?
They can expect some hilarious stand-up comedy as they join me at Badger State Brewing in downtown Green Bay. Is it in downtown? Do you know where it is? Have you been there before?
Conrad, do we know Badger?
Yeah, it is. It's downtown. It's kind of close to Lambeau.
Oh, sweet. I don't live in Green Bay. I commute like an hour, but Conrad's the man. He's got his ear to the ground here.
I'm talking to Conrad. I'm moving over. I'm talking to Conrad from now on.
He's a better conversationalist. You get more bang for your buck.
That's what I'm getting. I'm doing all the talking anyway. That's by design. But yeah, so I'm doing my show there. I have an incredible opener, Nick Jerry. He's actually been with me since day one. So he will also be doing show number 407 there. It's fun. It is a very fun night. There's stories about my misadventures. And if anyone has ever seen my stand-up before, these are all new stories. I always keep it fresh. And you can get tickets at zanelamprey.com.
Nice.
And the show starts at, 8 PM. I think the VIP doors are 7 o'clock. And then the general admission doors are 7:30. I do a very fun, drinking game bit. I'd play three drinking games with the VIP audience before the general admission gets there. That is very, very fun. But the show itself is it's a lot of fun. You're drinking incredible craft beer. That is the constant of every night. And it's just fun. It's easy. It's non-political. It's relatable. And even if you've never seen me before, have no idea who I am, you don't need that as a primer to understand it. We start at the beginning and kind of, you know, talk through everything there.
You know, I would think this would be like a home away from home for you. I don't know if you see these lists that come out every year, Zane, but like out of the 50 most drinking communities in America, Wisconsin has like 46 of them. And sometimes they have to team up three cities and count them as one. I mean, this is a drinking culture here. I would think you'd be an absolute rock star and could probably just make your living in Wisconsin.
I was thinking about it. I get reminded of the facts that you're throwing out there every single night. Some people brag about it.
I'm not bragging about it.
Someone brings up those same data points, and they are definitely bragging when they do that. And inebriated. Right. Yeah, look, I don't know if this is safe. I'm going to go on a limb here and say, like, I love Wisconsin, Minnesota. I love this whole area and the vibe of things. I think more of an identity. Here's the thing. Minnesota, you guys are proud of your beer and your cheese, and they're proud of their lakes. And here's the whole thing. They got 11,000 lakes. I don't know if you know this, but you guys have 15,000.
We have more. Yeah, we do.
You have more. And you guys aren't all like braggadocious about it. You guys are cool. You guys are hip about it. We didn't even talk about the lakes. We talk about the cheese and the beer.
We can totally take them. That's all I'm saying, Minnesota. I'm putting it out there.
That's all they got.
Whatever comes to that.
That's all they got is lakes, you know?
Awesome. They don't even, exactly. So who are your influences, Zane, when it comes to comedy and when it comes to drinking?
Oh, man. Comedy influences. You know, it's everybody. It's everybody. I take a little something away from everybody. There's nobody that I like model myself after. I mean, growing up, I was a huge fan of Robin Williams and Eddie Murphy, but it was really any comic that kept my attention. You know what I mean? Any comic that had like the content and the energy to be interesting and to be funny. That's where it was. And now it's like, it's anybody who makes me laugh, you know, and knows how to keep it, you know, short and sweet. And as far as like, you know, drinking, it's so funny. When I had the Food Network show, my show Half Fork Will Travel took the spot of Bourdain's show, which I think was No Reservations.
Oh, wow.
And so there was an immediate animosity from Bourdain to me. And it was pretty heated, not publicly, between the two of us having conversations about it. Oh, and then he said, he goes, look, you don't have any place doing food shows. You're not a food guy. You're not a chef. He goes, Three Sheets, one of the best shows ever. I go, whoa. Just start there, man. I don't need the rest of it. Just stop. Three Sheets, one of the best shows ever. Shut up. We're done. Let's get a drink. And literally, that was literally the conversation. And then we were friends. We were friendly. And when I was doing a show to a new network called Drink TV, there was a show called Four Sheets, which I was doing, a very short-lived show, short-lived network. But I was supposed to go to Cuba to do an episode, and I knew that Bourdain had contacts there, and so I was talking to him about doing the show there and all the contacts, and he was actually going to come meet me. He was going to come and be there for that, and that was the time when he met his met the maker,
demise.
I guess you'd say.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So I don't know if he's necessarily a drinker per se, but you know, he's one of my idols. So when he kind of started dissing on me, I took it really personally. You know, just to the point where I was pretty hurt by it, you know, but I'm also, I don't shy away from confrontation, and I'm going to say something. And so we had it out, and quickly was resolved. So again, I don't know. You know, it's so funny. I was thinking about this, the preface in my book, and it's like, who's a drinker? Like, you know what I mean? Like I got paid to drink. Am I the most famous person to get paid to drink? I don't think
you would be. And I don't I could tell you're not afraid of confrontation. You've already kicked me to the curb in place of Conrad. So,
I sure did. Why are you talking?
Hey, we got to run, buddy. This is so fun, Zane. Good luck tomorrow before I lose my show.
Click.
Buddy, this is great meeting you. Let's do this
you
again
too,
sometime.
Man.
Have a great show tomorrow. 100%. Break a leg.
Let me know when you can come to the show. I'll send you tickets.
Would love it. All right. Be careful walking. Okay, bud.
You got it. Cheers.
All right. That's Zane Lamprey. I'd like to thank him. Celebrating the things that bring us together. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on behalf of Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin. Yeah.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Douglas Darby and Jacob Jansen give us an update on their Turning the Page project.
And Michael Friedman from Simple Life Hospitality is in for our very first NFL draft update. Join us.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.